In Hebrews 10, we're told to promote love and good works. For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, drawing on her decades of personal study and the application of God's principles as a daughter, mother, wife, and missionary, Elizabeth reminds us that anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, speaking with you today about the clouds you dread. Can you remember what you were worrying about a week ago today? Think back. What day is it? Do you remember what you worried about a week ago? Was it worth the energy? Did it happen? If not, what a waste. If so, even worse. If it didn't happen, it was a waste. If it did happen, what good did it do to have worried about it? Most of what we worry about never happens. Furthermore, it's forbidden. Do you realize that it is forbidden to us to worry? Jesus said, "Take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Jesus knew exactly what he was talking about. We've been in situations, haven't we, when we realized that the burdens of today were just about all we could handle. We didn't need to take on any burdens of tomorrow. And Paul says in his epistle of joy, the letter to the Philippians, he says, "Don't worry about anything whatever." That's pretty cut and dried, isn't it? He doesn't say don't worry about anything unless it's important. Don't worry about the little things, just worry about the big ones. He says don't worry about anything whatever. That's a word that I need over and over again because I am a worrywart. It's very easy for me to worry. It comes naturally, I guess, coming from a long line of worriers on both sides of the family. I can remember teasing our father because he worried about many things, and then we used to say, "You worry when you can't think of anything to worry about." But it is forbidden. It says, "Don't worry about anything, whatever, but in everything with earnest and thankful prayer, let your requests be made known to God." That's what we're supposed to do. If things come to us which are worrisome, that's our opportunity to take them to God in prayer. There's an old gospel song that says, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Do you carry everything to God in prayer? What about right this minute? Now let's stop for a second and think about the most worrisome thing in your life. What is it? Have you taken it to God in prayer? And have you left with the burden still on your shoulders, or did you leave the burden at the cross? Casting all your care upon Him, for it matters to Him about you. I remember my Greek professor in college pointing out to us that the Hebrew words for "He careth for you" can be translated, "It matters to Him about you." I love that word. We've been talking about the story of Gideon. Gideon was a very brave man in some ways, but Gideon was also full of fear. And when he was told that he had to lead the children of Israel, he was trembling in his boots. But it says he did take 10 of his servants, and he did as the Lord had told him. But he was afraid of his father's family and his fellow citizens. I really don't suppose that he was afraid that they were going to do him physical harm. I rather imagine that he was afraid of what they would say and what they would think of him. Most of us are much more tempted to that kind of fear than we are physical fear. What will they say? What will people think? So it says he did it by night and not by day. And I love the fact that God met him where he was, even a man so timid that he was afraid of what his father's family and fellow citizens might think of him, so that he did it by night and not by day. God let him do it. God made that concession. And when the citizens rose early in the morning, they found the altar of Baal overturned. That was what he had been commanded to do. The altar of this heathen god was turned upside down, and the sacred pole had been cut down, and a yearling bull had been offered up. And everybody was wondering who did it. And after searching all around, they were told that it was Gideon, the son of Joash. So they went to Joash, his father, and they said, "Bring your son out. He has overturned the altar of Baal and cut down the sacred pole beside it, and he must die." But as they crowded around him, Joash retorted, "Are you pleading Baal's cause then? Do you think it's for you to save him? Whoever pleads his cause shall be put to death at dawn. If Baal is a god and someone has torn down his altar, let him take up his own cause." And on that day Joash named Gideon, his son, Jerubbaal, saying, "Let Baal plead his case against this man." And then the Spirit of the Lord took possession of Gideon. He sounded the trumpet, and the people came out to follow him. Even though he had doubted God's presence, he resented God's not performing the miracles that he thought God should have performed. He felt desolate and forsaken. God wasn't doing what he thought God was supposed to do. And God had said, "This is your chance to do something. You do something." And Gideon had been arguing with him. "Why has this happened? How am I supposed to do it?" And then the word, "Peace be with you." Gideon's response was worship. He recognized then that he was dealing with God. And so he built an altar. And he named it Jehovah Shalom, God of Peace. But it was a pretty scary command that had been given to him to take down the sacred pole. After all, that was the symbol of the religion of the people. And that was sacred and not to be touched. But his father defended him, and the Spirit of the Lord took possession of him. Sometimes we think that we have to get to some special height or level or altitude of spirituality in order to expect the Spirit of God to do anything for us or in us. I know that's been my feeling many times. And yet, I've come and cast myself completely on the mercy of God, knowing that my prayer life was not what it should be, knowing that I could never call myself spiritual in any very consistent sense, knowing that I'm dishing out a great many things from God's Word to people in meetings, on radio broadcasts, in books, that I myself am not by any means perfectly living up to. What can I do? Am I to wait until I have reached that height of spirituality which is going to satisfy my standard, let alone God's standard? No. I can only cast myself on the mercy of God. And God was merciful to Gideon, even though Gideon was so unbelieving that he made him prove himself by visible signs. You remember the fleeces that he put out. And God let it be so. The fleece was dry, and on the ground there was dew. And so God meets us according to our needs. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. We've been referring to William Cooper's wonderful hymn, "God Moves in a Mysterious Way." Verse 3 of that hymn says, "Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy, and shall break in blessings on your head." I hope that there's some people out there with a notebook and a pencil, and you'll take down those words, because it might be exactly what you need today. I couldn't tell you how many times I've had to repeat those words over to myself. "Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy, and shall break in blessings on your head." I've wasted an awful lot of time and energy worrying about things, and a week later I can't even remember what it was. Did it do me any good? Jesus says, by worrying you can't add one inch to your stature. Doesn't do one bit of good. If the thing's going to happen or if it's not going to happen, worrying accomplishes nothing. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy. Whatever that thing is that you are so apprehensive about, it might be big with mercy instead of big with disasters, devastation, horror, destruction, poverty, the collapse of everything. Is that really what you're expecting? Big with mercy. And even in the things which look like human disasters, God shows His mercy. I told you the story a few days ago of Judy Ann Squire, the woman who was born with no legs at all. It was the most traumatic experience in her parents' life. And yet Judy is able to say she has seen the mercy of God throughout her life. He has blessed her far beyond her wildest imaginings. The clouds that her parents so much dreaded, for her sake, undoubtedly, the pain of the parents is because of their imagination of the pain of the child. But those clouds were big with mercy. That's the business that God is in. He's in the business of maintenance and repair and creation. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things become new. What are those clouds that you dread today?
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.